You know, the last episode was actually the 5-year anniversary of this podcast. Yeah, it's been going 5 years from about, well, last episode. So let the celebrations begin. Those were the celebrations. Run the theme music.
What's this? What's this?
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
What's this? What's this?
It's Christmas time.
What's this? What's this?
It's all humbug, I tell you.
What's this? What's this?
Well, just seeing a trusty old Red Ryder carbine action 2 on the shot range model air rifle.
What is this?
It's the Total Christmas Podcast with your host, Jack.
He's an angry elf.
Hello, you beautiful people, and welcome to the Total Christmas Podcast. Let's start with the interactive bit. How have you been? No, this is just me doing my Elvis impression. And scene. So, I've had a bit of feedback from, do you remember last episode, I did that version of the 12 Days of Christmas where the gentleman from Father Ted was sending letters to his true love thanking her for the gift she'd been sending. And then I mentioned that there was another version that I was familiar with by Phoebe Waller-Bridge. Well, I got an email, two emails actually, one from Brighton Rock, and he sent me a link to a version by Norm Macdonald. I don't know if you all know Norm Macdonald. He was never that popular in the UK, but he was on Saturday Night Live. I was a big fan of his actually. He was in a film called Dirty Work, which I really loved. There's some really funny bits in it. Yeah, and he had his own show as well called Norm. Yeah, he did a version, which was actually quite good. And also, Gerald Case Blanchett sent me a link to a version by the King's Singers. And you've got this choir, and they sing the day of Christmas, and then one of the singers reads out a thank you note. And it's all very similar, actually. They're all very, very similar. It seems there's nothing new under the sun. And I wonder if when these people come up with the idea, and they think, oh, this will be really funny, and they've got no idea that it's already been done at least three times before. So if you're out there thinking of doing it, don't bother, don't waste your time. It's been done. Move on. Okay. I think that's all the housekeeping I've got. So let's get started with this. This is the quiz. This is the quiz. This is the quiz. This is the quiz. Boys and girls, I've got some good news. Do you remember last episode I did Santa Banter instead of the quiz? Or, you know, it was a quiz of sorts. And I got an email from Pamela Wootton who said she actually enjoyed it. Yeah, she didn't like it the first time. Second time, she found it a bit of fun. So that's nice. I think it was because it was me and Scott doing it. I think it was very funny. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed listening back to me and Scott. Anyway, these are the scores that were sent in. Not many people bothered this time. I don't know why. That's fair enough. I don't care. So with 5 points, a measly 5 points, was Guy Sawyer. Now, how did you only get 5? I thought it was pretty easy. With 6 points was John Gomez. With 7 points, Jack Unverfirth. With 8 points was Martin Goodman, and with 10 points was Mike Westphal and the aforementioned Pamela Wootton. Well done, Pamela Wootton. That's why she liked it this time, isn't it? Because she scored 10. I will be doing it again at some point, but I think it works better if I've got a guest doing it with them. So whenever I've got a guest, maybe we'll wheel out the old Santa banter. But now, it's the new quiz. So let me introduce you to my new quiz book. It's called So This Is Christmas Quiz Book, and it says over 1,500 questions to test your festive knowledge. It was written by Roland Hall and edited by Ellie Rose. This came out in 2022, and well, yeah, it says it's got 1,500 questions. Here's the deal. Each double page has a quiz of 15 questions, okay? And they're in three levels. So you have three on the same subject. So the first three batches of 15 questions, they're all on general knowledge, right? See how you get on with these ones. This is not the quiz. Don't get excited. Question one. True or false, December the 25th is known as Christmas Day. Question 2. What special songs are usually sung at Christmas? Carols, Yule songs, Santas, or classics? Fill in the blank. Father Christmas is also known as Santa Blank. There you go. So that's the level of quiz number one, okay? So I'm not using any questions from quiz number one, at least not this time round. This episode's quiz is taken from quiz number two, quiz level two, and quiz level three. Okay, we've got five questions from each one. So you might find the first five questions are easier than the next five. You might not. I don't know what you're up to, do I? Anyway, I'm a bit concerned these are too easy, but we're just testing the water, okay? Bear with me on this. And if they are too easy, it means you scored 10 and you can feel clever for the rest of the day. Maybe even the rest of the fortnight. Until next episode, when I pick out some real stinkers. Right, question number one. Fill in the blank. Complete the Christmas carol title, God Rest Ye Merry. Question number two. The Victorians started the tradition of sending what at Christmas? What did they start the tradition of? Question number three. Which of Santa's reindeer shares a name with a female fox? It's another easy one, isn't it? Question number 11. What hugely popular kids' Christmas movie franchise stretched to 6 films? Okay, obviously it's Christmas. Next one. Alongside a paper crown and a toy, what do you usually find in a Christmas cracker? This might be tricky for some of my overseas listeners. I'm pretty sure in Australia they have Christmas crackers. I don't know about other countries. And I'm not even going to give you, it gives you 4 options. I'm not even going to give you the 4 options. So you've got to figure it out. And I bet you can do it because you're cool. Okay, next one. These are from the harder page now. Which of these German treats traditionally is made with honey? Is it Lebkuchen or Stollen? Which one of those has honey in it? Question number 2. Carol singing is similar to which old tradition? It had an old name, yeah? And then they changed the name. They updated it. They rebooted it. I don't know what they did. Question number something. Oh, hang on, wait a minute. This is 8, so near the end. What are widely regarded as the names of the 3 wise men who visited Jesus? Now, their names aren't in the Bible, so I'm not quite sure where their names came from. I know what they are. Do you know what they are? You're only going to get the point if you get all 3. Don't go giving yourself a third of a point. That's not happening. Number 9. Where did Mary and Joseph travel from before they reached Bethlehem? Right? Where did they start their journey? Okay. And the last one. In most of continental Europe, Christmas presents are exchanged on what day? Okay, those were your 10 questions. Are you ready for your 10 answers? Because here they come, baby. Complete the Christmas carol title, God Rest Ye Merry. You've had a long journey all the way to Bethlehem. Question, no, it's God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen. See, when I read the question, I tried to make it a bit trickier by saying Mary instead of Merry. Did that fool you? Of course it didn't, because you're cool. Next one. The Victorians were responsible for the tradition of sending what at Christmas? Well, that was Christmas cards. And here's something for you, kids. The first commercially produced Christmas card were printed, are you ready? The same year A Christmas Carol came out, 1843. Yeah, interesting fact. Next one. Which of Santa's reindeer shares a name with a female fox? Well, that is, of course, Donna the Fox. Yeah, you've got Donna the Fox and also you've got Donna the Reindeer. Easy. That's Vixen, isn't it? Vixen is the name for a female fox. Okay, next one. What hugely popular kids' Christmas movie franchise stretched to 6 films? Well, I can tell you, the first 2 might have been popular. Went a bit downhill after that, didn't it? That is, of course, the Home Alone series. I've only seen the first 2 and then the most recent one. Yeah, the one they did on Disney Plus. And to be honest, the last one, didn't care for it, really. There was no need. Question, whatever. Alongside a paper crown and a toy, what do you usually find in a cracker? See, this is tricky, actually, because you get the snap. And that's not mentioned, is it? So alongside the snap, the thing that makes it go crack, the paper crown and a toy, I should have said that. If you put snap, give yourself a point. The other thing you find in there is a joke, a hilarious joke. And do you know what? Only yesterday I was thinking about this. I was thinking, I wonder what the most common joke used in Christmas crackers are, because frequently you'll get the same jokes year on year. And this is my guess, okay? What does a frog do when his car breaks down? It gets towed away. Yeah, that's my guess. I could be wrong, but that seems to be in every batch of Christmas crackers I've ever had. I could be wrong. Right, next one. Which of these German treats is traditionally made with honey? Well, I guessed Lebkuchen, and the answer is Lebkuchen. Yeah, not Stollen. So there you go. Next one. Carol singing is similar to which old tradition? And that is, of course, wassailing. Yeah, now here's an interesting one for you as well, because there's that song, here we go, we're caroling among the leaves of green, here we go, we're wandering to Bubba-Dooba-Dee. I think those are the words. And originally that song was, here we go, we're wassailing among the leaves of green. Yeah, so you've learnt something there, kids. Leaves of green. Wouldn't be leaves of green, but I suppose you've got the holly still. But most trees have lost their green leaves. Yeah. Next one. What are widely regarded of the names of the three wise men who visited Jesus? They are Balthazar, Caspar, and Melchior. Those are the three wise men. Okay. Where did Mary and Joseph travel from before they reached Bethlehem? Well, that was, of course, Nazareth. And the final one. In most of continental Europe, Christmas presents are exchanged on what day? Christmas Eve. Because they've got no patience. They just can't wait, can they? You just couldn't wait, could you? You couldn't wait like another 12 hours. You couldn't go to sleep, wake up, and then open your... No, you had to do it the day before. Goodness me. Yeah, I could never understand that. And then Christmas Day is just more of a day of sort of sitting around doing nothing. You've got nothing to look forward to at that point. I say, wait. Get drunk on Christmas Eve. Presents Christmas Day, have a bit of a rest, watch TV on Boxing Day. That's how it should be, okay? Because I'm doing it right, okay? Anyone who doesn't do that is doing it wrong. Okay, so there was the 10 questions. I hope you did really, really well. I got all 10 because I'm super intelligent. Send in your score just so I know, so I can gauge if this is too easy or too hard or whatever. Send in that score, then I'll know, you know, maybe I need to choose trickier ones. Maybe I don't. I don't know. Okay, that was the quiz. Let's do this.
Do you hear what I hear?
Do you hear what I hear?
You know, I really think of my work as a public service. The more that I drink, the less there is for the kids to drink. So there are certain words that Americans love to use to sound British. You always hear a bloody or a chap or another old favorite, blimey. People use it to imitate the stereotypical English voice for a dramatic effect. It is a phrase that you'll hear in all of the English Christmas films, from The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and the Harry Potter series, to Doctor Who, Scrooge, Last Christmas, and Millions. I think we like to embrace this term in the US because we don't have anything like it. It is so foreign sounding, it is perfect to convey being international. Blimey is used as an exclamation of surprise or annoyance, so I'm not sure what would be similar in the States. I did what is expected in 2025, and I asked artificial intelligence for a common equivalent, and it gave me the terms gosh or holy smokes. Now, I'm not sure if these work, as these phrases are not common at all, except maybe in the 1940s. AI says that what blimey means depends on the tone or intensity, but it is used as a casual, surprised exclamation. So I was thinking maybe something more like our expressions, geez or dang, but in a mild or humorous manner. This did make me wonder if blimey is still common in the UK. So I asked the AI again. It says that blimey is still used in England, but in an old-fashioned or exaggerated way. That it is especially used by the older generations or in certain regions. And, as we have seen, they like to use it in the media to create British charm or character. The use of the word blimey originated in the 19th century, but it really is a contraction of the more common phrase at that time, God blind me. This term is an example of a subjunctive in English. These are sentences that sound like requests, but are really just expressions of surprise. Terms like, God save the Queen, strike me down, or damn you. God blind me is like this. In such phrases, we know that the speaker really does not want to be struck down or for God to blind him. These are defined as apparently meaningless, abusive terms. So the original phrase, God blind me, became shortened over time to blind me, or then corrupted to the word blimey. It is argued that often when a word ends with a consonant, like D, that consonant is often dropped when speaking if it follows another consonant sound. Since the D in blind follows the voiced N, it became mispronounced, "To God blind me." Then the earliest known use of the interjection, "blimey," was in 1889. You can find its evolution in several published phrases. In 1897, it appeared as "blimey, if I know what you're all talking about." Or in 1896, it was "God blimey, now what?" In 1914, it was "gore blimey, how are you then, old townie?" In 1918, "gore blimey, that's the first I heard of it." And finally, in 1922, "God blimey, if she ain't a clinker. Blimey, it makes me kind of bleed and cry." God blimey, isn't that interesting? Oops, I mean blimey. Dang. Cheers and happy Christmas.
Yeah, do you know what? I think I still say blimey occasionally. Do I? Maybe very occasionally. Cool, blimey. Yeah, I think I do say it a bit. Be interesting to go through the podcast to see if I've ever said it in an episode. Great work there, Bob. He'll be back again in a bit, but now we're doing this.
Jingle, jingle, jingle for a segment.
So, boys and girls, in the last episode, I read out an email from listener Rob Taylor, who is at the moment raising money for prostate cancer research. And he asked if any of my lovely listeners, that's you, if you're listening now, you're a listener, had any ideas on how he could raise money at Christmas. Now, my first thought was to do a quiz, and he said, "I don't want to do a quiz," before I'd even said it. Okay, so then I said, "What about going carol singing?" That was my idea. I was quite proud of that one. And then I asked you to send in your ideas. Well, two of you did, which is pretty good, because I've got three listeners. That's 2/3 of all my listeners sent in an idea. And I'm going to read out the first one. Now, this comes from Martin Goodman, who normally does pretty well in the quiz. And he's put, this is his voice.
"My suggestion for fundraising is to hold a Christmas tree festival like the one I go to in Whittle in Essex."
That's not how he talks. He talks like this. "My suggestion for fundraising is to hold a Christmas tree festival like the one I go to in Whittle, Essex." Actually, he's Essex. He's more like this. "My suggestion for fundraising is to hold a Christmas tree festival like the one I go to in Whittle, Essex. Local people and organisations each enter a tree for a small fee, then people come and pay a small entrance charge to see them and judge them. Trees vary from beautifully dressed normal trees to symbolic things like books organised in a vague Christmas tree shape to promote a literacy charity. What do you reckon?" Yeah, and I thought that's a blinding idea, because what you do is you contact all the businesses in your town, and then they're going to pay, aren't they? Because they get to promote their business. And then you hold it like in a hall or somewhere, I don't know, and they display all the Christmas trees, and then everyone comes and looks at them. And you can have them in the grounds of the hall as well, because most halls have got like decent sized like green area around them, haven't they? I don't know. And people come around and then they judge them, people vote, people pay to vote, they pay like a quid to get a scorecard, and they choose their favourite tree or trees, and then at the end the prize goes to the best tree and you get loads of money. And at the same time you could, like, you know, sell stuff and things like coffee, ice creams, not in winter, you fool, no ice cream, maybe mince pies, that sort of stuff. Yeah, I think that's a blinding idea. I really like that one. Now, I also got an idea sent in from Robert Baker, and he said, right, "My first thought was to try to break the world record for the most people gathered together dressed like Elf. This is a real event, and the number to beat is only 1,762. Well, Rob Taylor said he does live in a fairly small town slash village. I don't know if he'd be able to get 1,762 people to do that. Although, having said that, Bob says, even in my little village of 800 residents, I believe with enough work and marketing, I could get at least 1,000 people to turn out." That's optimism, isn't it? Bob is a good man. He's an optimistic man. And then he said, because I said about the carol singing, he said, "I thought about your idea, and I thought, put a spin on it. Why didn't Rob try to break the record for the most people joining together to sing Silent Night? And then he gives a list of ways that you could raise more money while you're there, like, you know, selling refreshments and t-shirts and stickers and that sort of stuff. I will forward the whole email onto Rob Taylor, because Rob took a bit of time on this, and I'm really impressed with it. So I'll send that through to Rob. But that got me thinking, right? If you don't want to do one of those, because that's going to take a lot of effort to get loads of people, but why not try and break a record of some kind? And that way, you might get the papers down there, you might get loads of people another opportunity to sell the refreshments and all the other crap. So, kids, I don't know if you remember, a few episodes ago, I did some Christmas world records. Well, I'm doing another six today, and these are ideas that maybe Rob could choose if he wants to break a record. Don't have to, Rob, you know, I don't care what you do, to be honest. As long as you raise your money and you're happy, then I'm happy. Right, so here we go, kids. We're going to play the game like we did last time. I'm going to give you the record. You've got to guess how quick or how many or whatever it is, like the record is, okay? So the first one is the fastest time to dress as a Christmas elf. Now, here's the question, right? I don't know. I tried to look into it without actually contacting Guinness Book of Records. I wouldn't know the exact details, but you've got to dress as an elf. I don't know if you have to have like curly toed shoes. Obviously, I'm guessing you've got to have a hat and a tunic and a what, tights, leggings? I don't know. Anyway, the chap who did it, his name is Andre Ortolf in Germany. He did this on the 11th of December 2023, so it's only a year and a bit old. And the record, are you ready? What do you reckon? How quickly did he get dressed as an elf? The record is 24.68 seconds. Yeah. Now here's the deal. If your fundraiser is all based around you dressing as an elf as quickly as you can, then your fundraiser is going to last about 30 seconds. So you could get other people to have a go as well, couldn't you? You like people pay to have a go, have an attempt at the record, and it's worth thinking about. That's just an idea, okay? Right, next one. So this record, this is going to last a bit longer. It's the longest marathon of singing Christmas songs. And this is held by, now I'm going to have trouble reading this out because it's, her name's from Nigeria, Iwolua Olatuaji. And she did this between the 27th and the 28th of December 2023. And the record is 31 hours. Yeah, 31 hours. So this is a good idea because if you can get people there selling refreshments, you're there on your microphone singing, but other people could just sort of come and go as they please, sit around for a bit, have a chat while you're there singing for 31 hours. I don't know if you'll have to have breaks in between. Worth thinking about though, because you know, if you can take the time, maybe on a weekend or something, maybe like early December when people aren't too busy, in a hall, set up your stalls, refreshments, crap like that, people can pay to come in and they get to sing along with you while you're there breaking a record for 31 hours. 31 hours and 2 seconds, it's yours. Well, 1 second, really. But I'm saying go 2 seconds, because then you really smash the record instead of just beating it. Yeah, so I like that one. I think that's a good idea, an opportunity there to, you know. Anyway, next one. Right, okay, here we go. Fastest time to decorate a Christmas tree. Do you remember I talked about this? Because most of the records I talked about last time were about Christmas trees. Well, the fastest time to decorate a Christmas tree, it was on a children's TV show in the UK by a chap called Sam Homewood. And he broke the record on the 12th of November 2018. And do you want to have a guess how quick it was? Can you remember from when we talked before? 34.52 seconds. Yeah, now, I'm pretty sure there's a certain amount of tinsel, baubles and star you've got to put on. But, you know, with a bit of practice, you could break that record. Worth thinking about. I like that one. Next one that you can have a go at. The longest time to balance a Christmas tree on your chin. And this is held by David Rush of Boise, Idaho. And he broke the record on the 11th of December 2021. So that record's been standing for about 3 and a bit years. How long do you reckon David Rush balanced a Christmas tree on his chin? Well, the answer is 1 hour, 30 minutes and 5 seconds. Yeah. Reckon you could do that? Of course you could. Do it. Now, the next one is the most Christmas crackers pulled by an individual in 30 seconds. And this one is held by Joel Corr. And he did this like backstage at the Jingle Bell Ball at the O2 Arena in London on the 12th of December 2021. How many Christmas crackers do you reckon one man pulled on his own in 30 seconds? Have a guess? You ready? 41. That's more than one a second, obviously. You can do the maths on that. 41 is a larger number than 30. There you go. I'm impressed with that one. Yeah. It's going to cost you a lot in crackers if you do that one. It's going to cost you a lot in crackers. But maybe get someone to sponsor you and they give you a load of crackers because it's for a good cause, isn't it? And then other people could have a go as well. So you have a go, then someone else has a go, and other people, and they could pay to enter for get them to charge them for the crackers. You get them for free, charge them. Anyway, that's another option. And the last one I'm going to suggest, it's the same as the previous one, the most Christmas crackers pulled, but this is a team of two people pulling them and you've got a minute to do it. So this is even better, okay? Because you get people to do it, come in pairs and do it. Now, the holders of this record are Samuel Mayer and Andrei Ortov, and they're from Germany. A little pause here. Did you recognise that name? Andrei Ortov. He's the guy that was the fastest to dress as a Christmas elf. Now, let me tell you something, kids. I looked this guy up. He has got over 120 world records to his name. Yeah, they're not just Christmas ones. Like, there's a lot of things like opening drinks cans in a minute, chopping carrots in a minute. He's done loads of stuff. Yeah, he's got loads of world records. Fair play to you, Andrei Ortov. Now, also, this is interesting, because they're from Germany, right? And they're pulling Christmas crackers. Like, where did they get them from? Get them in Germany, can you? I don't know. Maybe they are a thing in Germany. But here's the other thing. Listen to this. It was broken, right, on the 14th of February. That's Valentine's Day, 2016. The 14th of February. It's not even at Christmas they're doing it. Did they, like, get them in cheap? Because they're like, you know, after Christmas, they're like, oh, everyone's trying to offload their Christmas crackers they didn't sell. So I would take those and break a world record with them. Now, are you ready to guess? Now, don't forget, that other guy did 41 in 30 seconds. How many do you reckon two... That was one guy on his own. How many do you reckon two people did in 1 minute? You ready? Thinking? Got your number? Yeah. 63. Yeah, it's much less, but then I suppose you've got to coordinate if there's two of you. If it's one of you, just grab the cracker, snap it, grab it. I reckon I could have a go at that. I'll practice it. I've done a lot of pulling my cracker over the pulling crackers over the years. I should be pretty good at that. Okay, so those are some ideas for you, Rob, and I hope you enjoyed listening to those world records. Maybe one of my listeners out there, they're thinking, hang on a minute, I could break a world record. Maybe you could, kids. Maybe you could. Yeah, if you've got any other ideas for a way Rob could raise money, I like the world record one. I think you could do the world record one and the Christmas tree fair, because I think the Christmas tree fair, I think that's a blinder. I really do. If you've got any other ideas, though, how Rob could raise money for his charity at Christmas, send them in, kids. Send them in. Now, boys and girls, we're doing this. You know, I used to do a joke every episode, didn't I? Yeah, every episode I'd have a joke. And I haven't done one for weeks and weeks. And I haven't even got one today, either. Nope, nothing. Sorry.
Where are you, Christmas?
Where are you, Christmas? How about Bracebridge, Ontario? It's a picturesque destination with such natural beauty. The town was able to charm the 14th century knight featured in Netflix's The Night Before Christmas. Yes, Bracebridge is so festive, it was actually featured in two holiday films, The Night Before Christmas and Hallmark's Christmas at Grand Valley. It oozes with small town charm and features three stunning waterfalls. You can also find plenty of Christmas here all year long. During the holiday season, they have an iconic Festival of Lights and Santa Claus Parade. Plus, they also host a Fire and Ice Winter Carnival with fire artist performances, ice sculptures, and a fun and unique downtown tube run. And for the summertime, they offer Santa's Village, a festive amusement park in an enchanted wooded setting featuring rides and holiday-themed experiences. Santa is there every day during the summer, greeting the guests. And since Santa's Village is nestled on the Muskoka River, you can take a cruise on Santa's summer sleigh boat or take out the Treasure Island paddle boats. Santa's Village was established in 1955, and it offers nostalgic memories for generations of families. It also just happens to be conveniently located halfway between the equator and the North Pole. Now, if you know of another magical location with holiday flair, you ride it to Jack, he'll coast it for me, and we'll tell you where to find Christmas throughout the year.
Well, there you go, boys and girls. There's another glorious place that we all need to go and visit. Yeah, it's been in two films. It must be good. When we started this segment, I did get a couple of suggestions emailed through, which Bob is going to cover. But he asks every episode and nothing's happened for a while. So if you do know anywhere that Bob hasn't mentioned yet, send it through so I can send it to Bob. You know, don't make him do all the work. Why don't you be a part of this? Yeah, send it through. Boys and girls, it's that time where I plug Bob's podcast. It's called Festive Foreign Film Fans. Every episode, him and his mate Mark talk about a foreign festive film, and it's really good. And do you remember, I was talking in the last episode that he'd covered Ben-Hur. Well, I did watch Ben-Hur around Easter, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. Yeah, I hadn't seen it in ages. Well, I've seen it again now, and I really liked it. Go and listen to Festive Foreign Film Fans. Thanks for that, Bob. Now we're doing this.
Humbug.
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 Humbug. Bah humbug.
It's all humbug, I tell you.
Christmas a humbug, Uncle. Oh, you don't mean that, surely.
This episode's version of A Christmas Carol is Scrooge, A Christmas Carol Podcast. Here's the blurb on their website. It says, Scrooge, A Christmas Carol Podcast, produced by Hope Media Group, is the retelling of the timeless Charles Dickens classic, A Christmas Carol, destined to become a holiday tradition for individuals and families alike. This award-winning, star-studded audio drama will inspire and entertain while illustrating God's profound ability to transform even the hardest of hearts through forgiveness and redemption. This beloved story, reimagined through the creative genius of screenwriter Paul Cascieri and producer Mark Ramsey, is sure to become a shareable holiday delight for generations to come. Well, it must be a shareable delight because I'm sharing it with you. Now, this obviously being a podcast is an audio retelling and I quite liked it. It had a lot of changes. Now, this was released in 2023, so it's about a year and a half old, and the Hope Media Group is a Christian organisation that raises money trying to release children from poverty. So that's a good cause. Anyway, it stars Sean Astin as Scrooge. Now, you probably know Sean Astin. He was in Goonies, and he also played a hobbit in the original Lord of the Rings trilogy. Before I start, I just want to say the production values are really good as audio dramas go. I really like this. I thought they put a lot into it. Almost as good as the crap that goes into my one. So yeah, they've really raised the bar there. And this did win an award for the Christian Music Broadcasters Podcast of the Year 2023. Yeah, so fair play to them. So we'll get straight into it and I'll talk about how it's changed from the original. So it opens with Marley dying. You just hear him coughing and he's dead. And it gives the date as December the 24th, 1836. So it is 7 years before 43 when A Christmas Carol was released. And then we get the narrator, John Rhys-Davies. Now, I'm sure you're familiar with John Rhys-Davies. He was in a bunch of the Indiana Jones films. He played Sala. And he also was in the Lord of the Rings films as well. He played Gimli. Now, his narration at the start is similar, but not exact to the book. But it's okay, you know, so he's like leading us into the story. And he actually talks about Marley being Scrooge's mentor. Yeah, so they weren't equals, as it's implied in the book. It actually suggests that Marley was almost like a father figure to Scrooge. And the business is actually called Marley and Scrooge, not Scrooge and Marley, like it is in the book. Yeah, they've actually changed the name, so not impressed with that personally. Then we get Bob Cratchit talking to Scrooge, and he's played by someone called Ryan O'Quinn, who I'd never heard of actually. And Scrooge says something about Cratchit having three kids, and Cratchit says, no, I've got four kids. And I'm there thinking, well, according to the book, you've got five kids, but you know, I won't dwell on that. And then they have a conversation, and it's taken from the conversation he has with Fred. Have a listen to this.
Merry Christmas indeed. If I could work my will, every idiot who goes about
with Merry Christmas on their lips would be boiled in his own pudding and buried with a stake in his heart. I'm sorry, sir.
More talk like that, Cratchit, and I may actually come to tolerate you.
Yeah, I don't know why they did that. I don't know if it was trying to give Cratchit a larger part or what? I don't know the reasoning behind that, but anyway, they had that bit with Cratchit, and then Fred comes in. Now, Fred is played by a gentleman called Clive Standen, and he played Rollo in the Vikings TV series, and he also played Brian Mills in the Taken TV series, yeah, instead of Liam Neeson. And in this version, he's not actually married yet, which is interesting. He's engaged. That's what he tells Scrooge, that he's just got engaged, but he's not actually married. Yeah, and the dialogue, apart from the bit they've already taken out, then given to Cratchit, it's similar, but again, not quite the same to the book. Then the portly gentlemen come in, and I couldn't even find out who played them, and there's quite a few actors in it whose names aren't listed. And again, the dialogue is similar, but not the same as the book. And as they're leaving, Scrooge is like, I'll see them out. Cratchit actually gives them a donation. I've seen that in a couple of versions. It's not in the book, but I always like that. I like seeing Cratchit give a donation. And then Scrooge is really annoyed with like Fred coming around and the portly gentleman. And so he closes early. Yeah, which I just think is insane that he'd actually close early and let Cratchit go home early, because then he's giving Cratchit a hard time for wanting the day off. Yeah. And Cratchit leaves, and they mention that he goes down the ice slide on Cornhill, which I like that. I like hearing about the ice slide. And then the narrator comes in again and talks about Scrooge going to his melancholy tavern and having his melancholy meal. And then he's on his doorstep and he hears Marley's voice, but he doesn't mention that his face is in the door knocker. So it's just like he hears him. There's no explanation to suggest he has seen a face, just heard the voice. And then it says about how he checks every room in the house. Such was his routine. And that annoyed me, because in the book, the idea is that after seeing Marley's face in the door knocker, he like checks behind the door to see where the face appeared from. Then he goes round the house checking every room because he's been shaken up by what he just saw. But in this one, it suggests he does that every night. Fair enough, if that makes you happy. Then we get the conversation with Jacob Marley. Now, Jacob Marley is played by Maxwell Caulfield, and I know him mainly from being in Grease 2. Yeah, he was, I don't know his character's name, he was the English guy that came over and rode a motorbike. He is a cool rider, a cool rider. Yeah, he was also in the Colbys and a soap opera in the UK called Emmerdale. He was in that for like 100 odd episodes. Now, I've got an interesting fact about Maxwell Caulfield. So, he was in a stage show with Juliet Mills, and she is the sister of Hayley Mills, who was a very famous child star. And she's 20 odd years older than him. And they got married. And this was back in like 1980. So he was married to her when he was filming Grease 2. And they're still married. He was like 21 when he got married. And they're still married 45 years later. And she's like 20 years older than him. Isn't that insane? Like, that's great. Quite amazing. Good for you. Anyway, the chat is similar to in the book. But in this version, the way Marley is talking to Scrooge is as if they were never friends. It sounds like he barely even liked him. And then he shows him the spirits out in the street, and he goes, and Scrooge goes to bed, and he's woken up by the Ghost of Christmas Past. The Ghost of Christmas Past is played by Lucy Punch. Now, I really like Lucy Punch. She's a British actress, but she's done a lot of stuff in the US as well. And she has played an ugly sister, or version of an ugly sister, like Cinderella, ugly sister, four times. Yeah, I watched one the other night. I watched Into the Woods, and she was one of the ugly sisters in that. And then I was reading the trivia, and it said that, yeah, three other times she's played different versions of Cinderella, but like an Ella Enchanted, she's one of them. Anyway, she takes him back to his school, and so far the production's been fairly close to the book, with the odd change here and there I've mentioned. But now it's all different, right? He sees Fan, and she's all excited because he's going to see his dad. Not like he's allowed to come back home to be with his dad. He's going to see his dad. You know where his dad is? In prison. Yeah. And so Scrooge goes and takes a letter from Fan and goes to see his dad in prison. And the guard says, well, you got 2 minutes. Well, I timed it. It was 2.5 minutes they were talking. And his dad is an arsehole and tells him to live for himself and that Christmas is rubbish. And the Ghost of Christmas Past is saying, like, this is when you lost your innocence. And he's like, no, this is when my eyes were opened. And she says, well, if that's true, how come you lied to Fan? Because then we hear him talking to Fan. And he's saying, oh, Dad's having a great time in prison. And he really loved your letter. That was the best Christmas present he's ever had. There you go. So then we go to Fezziwig's party. And guess who's at Fezziwig's party? Yeah, his love interest, of course, right? Guess who isn't at Fezziwig's party? Yeah, Scrooge. He's upstairs working. And Belle comes up. Sorry, who comes up?
Ebenezer, are you going? willing to join us? I'm in desperate need of a dance partner.
Terribly sorry, Elizabeth, but hastening to finish the day.
Yeah, they changed their name. They changed their name to Elizabeth. I don't know why they felt the need to do that, but they changed their name to Elizabeth. She comes up to see him, and you can hear the party going on downstairs. And they have their conversation, the one that in the book is not even related to Fezziwig in any way. They didn't meet at Fezziwig's, and in the book he's like an established businessman more. In this one, he's working for Fezziwig, and he's like, no, I'd rather be working than go to some crappy party. And she's like, oh, come on down. He's like, no, I'm not coming. We're over. He dumps her. That's nice. On Christmas Eve at a party. And the dialogue is very similar, but then, right, you hear this voice, and it's Jacob Marley. He's in the next office, and he's heard the whole conversation. And he's like, oh, let her go, mate. Women are rubbish anyway. That's not his exact words, but, you know. They have this conversation, and it sounds like, from the conversation, that Marley and Fezziwig are partners, but Scrooge seems like he's never met him before. But Marley's like, oh, I know who you are. But Scrooge doesn't know who he is. And you think, well, if they were partners, wouldn't Scrooge know who the bosses were? Anyway, Marley says he's going off on his own and he offers Scrooge a job, which I guess he takes. Then we go to Fan's deathbed and she's there dying. Again, this isn't in the book at all. And then we find this out.
I'm going to give him your middle name, Evan. Frederick.
I am moved, sister.
Yeah, she named him Fred because that was Scrooge's middle name. So his name is Ebenezer Frederick Scrooge, apparently. And Fan asks Scrooge to look after Fred, and Scrooge just pays for him to go to boarding school, pretty much. I don't know what he's doing while he's a baby. I don't know who's looking after him then. But yeah, then he goes straight to boarding school. And then it cuts to Fred at Fan's grave, and he goes there each year, and he gives a Bible quote. And at this point, like I mentioned earlier, this is a Christian production of A Christmas Carol, and they don't really ram the Christian stuff down your throat. There's a couple more mentions about God and Jesus in it than there are in the book, but they don't ram it down your throat. This is one of the few Bible readings. I think there's two in the whole thing. It's not long, it's just a quote from the Bible. And then the ghost of Christmas past says, I'm going now. And Scrooge is like, well, take me back. And she's like, no, you can stay in the past. And she leaves. And so he's sort of stuck there in the past, only for a very short while, because then he wakes up in bed. But I thought that was an interesting way of doing it. Then we get the ghost of Christmas present, and he's played by Ben Barnes. Now, you might know Ben Barnes from A Picture of Dorian Gray. He played Dorian Gray in that. And also, he played Prince Caspian in the Narnia film. And here's an interesting fact, which I believe is true. He was offered the role of Edward in the Twilight films, you know, the role that Robert Pattinson plays. He was offered his role, but he decided to go with the Prince Caspian film instead. And I bet he looks back over his life thinking, why did I do that? Oh, I could be playing Batman now. Oh, what was I thinking? Anyway, he gives him a drink and he says this.
Drink, Ebenezer.
Goodness gracious. What is this?
The best drink of all, Ebenezer.
Mm. Oh, it is delicious. More?
It is nectar made from the essence of the present. Patience, empathy, and trust.
I love it.
Yeah, so instead of him having his torch where he sprinkles the magic, Christmas magic, over people, he's got this drink that he gives to Scrooge. The first place he takes him is to Fred's, and they're playing charades. And do you know what? For a bit of fun, kids, why don't you see if you can guess what Fred is trying to be? Have a listen.
You're standing there. Your arms are tied.
Shakespeare. Coat of arms.
I'm not a book.
No cheating.
Oh, it's my insufferable nephew, Frederick. Playing at my favourite game. You must guess what the player is presenting. Could be a play or a work of art.
Imagine me with my jacket and blouse removed.
Frederick!
We'll try to manage without that visual.
Think!
You're just standing there with your arms behind your back.
Mary Shelley's Dr. Frankenstein.
No, no, fools. He's a statue of some type.
Alive or dead?
Dead. Very much so.
What are you doing with your arms?
I have no arms.
Moby Dick! Oh, he didn't have arms.
Because he was a fish. Does Frederick look like a fish to you?
Time!
Oh, no.
Okay, you ready? Do you know what it is? I guessed it. I did. Are you ready? Here it comes.
I'm Venus de Milo, you cretins.
Yeah, there you go. And then we find out that Fred is getting married to Martha, because his wife's name is not mentioned in the book, but it is mentioned here. It's Martha getting married to. And it sounds like all his mates at the party are a bunch of sort of like frat boys. They're like, you know, just sort of taking the mick the whole time. They just don't seem like a really nice bunch, which has surprised me because Fred always seems so pleasant. And here's another thing. It seems like Martha and Fred are living together. And that's not necessarily implied in this part. But later on, when Scrooge goes to visit Fred, you know, at the end, Martha answers the door. Would Martha be answering the door if it's not her house? Are they living in sin, is what I'm saying. Which, you might think, well, everyone lives together before they get married. Yeah, these days they do, but not back in Victorian times. What's that all about? Anyway, then they go to the Cratchits, and Scrooge is like, I recognise that woman. And the Ghost of Christmas Present is like, yeah, that's Bob Cratchit's wife. You were at our wedding, which I thought was interesting. And then the kids and Mrs. Cratchit, they have a dance together, and then in comes Bob and Tiny Tim, and they around the fire and they have a toast, and Tim is the one that toasts Scrooge. It's like, to Mr. Scrooge, which it isn't in the book. Yeah, and then we go to the portly gentleman, which I really liked actually, even though it's not in the book. I thought it was good that they included the portly gentleman, because quite often in versions you don't see the portly gentleman at all. Like, even though Scrooge gives them money later on, in a couple I've done recently we've not seen them again, so this was nice. And they're at like some kind of soup kitchen, well, type thing. I guess they would have called it soup kitchen back then. But they provide them soup and some blankets for the poor people. But it turns out that they're actually running out and they haven't got enough for the amount of people that are there wanting stuff. And then they talk about Scrooge and his father and how he was buried in Crossbones Cemetery in an unmarked grave. And then Scrooge says, right, show me my present. It's like, well, you know your present. It's tomorrow. It's nothing new. It'll just be you doing whatever you choose to do tomorrow. On Christmas Day. This is happening Christmas Eve. I didn't really get that. And then we get ignorance and want. And it's funny because Scrooge doesn't say, oh, who are they? He's like, what am I hearing? Because obviously it's a podcast. So Scrooge is like, can hear them. I don't know if he sees them. I guess he sees them. But what he says is, what am I hearing? Found that interesting. Anyway, then Scrooge wakes up in his bed and he can hear someone reading the last rites. And then someone goes, oh, you know, you can stop now, he's dead. And then it cuts to him being buried in a coffin, and he's like banging on the coffin saying, I'm still alive, I'm still alive, I'm still alive. And then he gets raised out of the coffin by the Ghost of Christmas Future. Yeah, they do say future, not Christmas yet to come. So then she takes him back to his house, and everyone's clearing it out. They're sort of ransacking it, really. Let me play a little bit for you. Have a listen to this.
What's going on?
The old man's gone.
You don't say? Finally, eh?
Yeah, and if that don't bring warmth to your soul, perhaps a parting gift might, eh?
And what have the constables to say about this?
Oh, you can ask them yourself. There's some in the common room.
Yeah, so we get that instead of old Joe, which I thought was, well, it's an interesting way of doing it. I don't really have a problem with that, really. And at this point, sorry, I should have said this already, we actually hear the Ghost of Christmas Yet to Come talk. Now, she's played by Juliette Mills, who I mentioned earlier, because she's the one married to Max Caulfield, you know, the one who's 20 years older than him. Yeah, have a listen to what she sounds like.
You have given him nothing.
Yeah, that's the Ghost of Christmas Future. And then the next scene is like 1 year later, and Fred has been given the business by Scrooge, and Scrooge is saying, you know, well, I may not have looked after him in life, but I've looked after him now that I'm gone. And Fred doesn't want the business, and he abandons all the debt and lets everyone off the money they owe. Yeah. And his mates there with him going, are you sure you want to do this? And Scrooge is going, why is he doing this? And Fred is saying, well, I think this is the right thing to do. And then who should come in but Elizabeth, Scrooge's girlfriend from all those years ago. And she says she was walking by and she saw Fred, and he looked just like Scrooge when he was young. And we find out that her surname is Seymour, but I guess that's her married name, because she does mention that she met someone after Scrooge. And at this point she makes some little comment about how, I was quite the belle when I was younger. And then I'm thinking, yeah, well, why didn't the writers just call her Belle, because that's her name, instead of calling her Elizabeth and then making some allusion to the name Belle. Anyway, then we get a scene with the Cratchits, and this is a bit sad actually, because Bob is there making a Dawson chair or a wheelchair for Tiny Tim, but his wife's there going, but he doesn't need it now, he's gone. And Bob is going, no, he does need this, Tim needs this, but he's passed away. And I really didn't like that scene at all, the fact that he's making a wheelchair for his dead child. Then we go back to the graveyard, and I should have mentioned this at the start actually, because in the book the whole point is Scrooge thinks they're talking about someone who's not him. He doesn't realise that everyone is talking about him being dead. He thinks he's still alive in the future. And then he gets taken to his gravestone and he sees, oh, it was me the whole time. Well, in this one, they take him to his gravestone. Well, there's no reason to, because he already knows he's dead. But anyway, she takes him to his gravestone and the dialogue's quite similar. You know, can I change the future, whatever. And he wakes up in bed. And first thing he does is calls down to the boy in the street. Or does he? Have a listen.
Hello! You there, coachman!
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yes, sir?
What day is it?
Day is it? Why, it's Christmas Day, sir.
So yeah, that's right, it calls down to a coachman instead, and he gets the coachman to get another coach so that he's got two, because he needs two coaches for what he's got planned today, and he delivers a load of food to the soup kitchen and the portly gentleman, which I thought was really nice, and he's got loads of blankets as well, and he chats to the portly gentleman and says how he wants to help, you know, throughout the year. Then we cut to the Cratchits, and he's just about to carve the goose. They've already got a goose. And in comes a turkey. And what I liked about this was that Scrooge has not only bought the turkey, but he sent it to the baker's to be cooked. Because, as you'd know, I've talked about this in previous episodes, most people didn't have an oven and they take their meat to be cooked at the baker's. And they'd use their ovens on a Sunday because on a Sunday the bakers weren't allowed to bake. So the turkey's delivered and it's already cooked, which I thought was great. But at the same time, they've already got a goose which has been cooked. So, you know, I suppose they get two meats. I hope they eat most of it, because they wouldn't have had a fridge to keep it fresh in, would they? And then Scrooge goes round to Fred's house and he's chatting to Fred and offers him a position working with him as a partner in his business. And he's given a card to Fred's girlfriend, fiance, and she opens it up and there's a massive gift of cash in there. We don't find out how much cash exactly, but she's quite astounded by it. And then the next scene is back at work, and we get pretty much the whole same scene here where, you know, you're late, Cratchit. Well, there's only one thing I can do, and that's raise your salary. And he makes him a partner. And then the narrator does the whole bit that Scrooge was better than his word. He does the whole bit of that. And you think, oh, that's the end of it. And then we get a final scene at the graveyard, and Scrooge is talking to a gravedigger, and they're actually digging up his dad's grave, and they're going to move him to be next to Fan. And we find out that his dad's name was James Huffman Scrooge. There you go. Yeah, and that's it. And I didn't mind it. I mean, as versions go, because it's so different to the book, it's not one I'll go back to because I'm a purist. And the fact that this was made by a Christian organisation doesn't make massive changes to it. So if you're not religious, I don't think you'd find this preachy at all. I think it's worth listening to, but like I said, I don't think it's one I'm going to go back to. But yeah, generally, not a bad version. Now let's do this. And that is it for this episode. I don't have a recommendation because the podcasts I'm listening to are the ones I've always been listening to. So, yeah, I guess this is just me saying thanks for listening. I really hope you've enjoyed it. If you want to get in touch, you can email me at totalchristmas@gmail.com. You've got to do that because I do need to know your score so that I can gauge how tricky this one was. Or you can go on the website totalchristmaspodcast.com. I'll be back again in 2 weeks' time. In the meantime, you know I love ya. Merry Happy Christmas!
A super shower washing every body part with Astral soap, including all my major crevices, including in between my toes and in my belly button, which I never did before but sort of enjoyed. I wash my hair with the Don't Formula shampoo and use cream rinse for that just wash shine. I can't seem to find my toothbrush, so I'll pick one up when I go out today. Other than that, I'm in good shape.